It's a pleasure to be here today and speak with everyone, and we will make sure that we've got time for our questions. I'd also like to thank the National Press Club for the invitation and organizing today's event. You know, the last time I spoke here was 18 months ago, and I gave a speech that made the following points. Number one, the Postal Service is a tremendous organization, and it's in a financial crisis. Number two, Congress needs to reform our business model and give us more flexibility to solve our financial issues. Number three, the lack of quick action by Congress will doom the Postal Service and force it to become a burden on the American taxpayer. You know, I was sorely tempted to give the same exact speech again. But I thought, have I become that cynical? I will admit being frustrated by the lack of progress on postal reform legislation over the past few years. But I will tell you, I am not cynical about it. And I'm not so cynical that I would deliver that same speech again. In fact, I'm more optimistic than ever about the future of the Postal Service. A few weeks ago, the Congress blocked our plan to transition to a new delivery schedule. We said we could deliver packages Monday through Saturday, mail Monday through Friday, and keep post offices open on Saturday. And it would save the Postal Service $2 billion annually. And it's a necessary part of closing a gap which could be $20 billion by 2017. The American public supports it by a wide margin. More than 80% support it once they understand the facts, including citizens over 55 and citizens in rural areas across the board support. It's the financially responsible thing to do. And yet Congress passed a spending bill that stopped us in our tracks. Am I cynical? No, I am not. I believe we will get the flexibility to move to our new delivery schedule because it is the right thing to do. Congress faces a simple choice. It can decide to start appropriating a lot of money to prop up a broken postal service, or it can give the organization the flexibility to operate more effectively. And in case you're wondering what that cost might be, the cost of propping up our broken model, including resolving all the debts and defaults we currently can't afford to pay, might be in the neighborhood of $58 billion, and that's just through 2017. And you know what? It would be completely unnecessary. It may shock you to learn the Postal Service could be profitable today and in the long-term future. We just need to operate differently. And so I am optimistic. I am optimistic that Congress will pass a bill this year. And I'm optimistic about a restructured Postal Service for the future. Earlier this week, we published an updated five-year business plan. And our plan closes a substantial budget gap by 2017 and puts the Postal Service on sound financial footing for years to come. And what's important about the plan, it's not the fact that the math adds up, because I think anybody here could figure out a way to make math add up if you want to make some pretty extreme choices. What's important about this plan is that it can be implemented in a responsible manner that is fair to both customers and employees. We do not have to resort to layoffs or contracting large chunks of business out from our workforce. We don't have to make radical changes in our products or services, nor to our pricing. And we do not have to be bailed out by American taxpayers. Do we need to make substantial change? Yes. Can we do it in a responsible way? Absolutely. But we cannot afford to wait. In this whole situation, time is money. If we do not start making some of these changes, we'll only be left with extreme options. And our situation, if you think about it, is not so much different than what the rest of the federal government faces and a lot of state and local governments face today. We have to get ahead of these fiscal imbalances. If we want to avoid major, noticeable disruption at a later time, we have to make responsible, thoughtful choices now. And that's what our plan aims to do. One of the most important changes that we think in the plan is to take over our health care plan. Everybody believes that the federal system is overly generous in terms of benefits. The truth is, the federal health care system is not overly generous to our employees, but it is overly expensive. And that's why we want to shift our employees and retirees from a federal system to a privately run plan. And when we do this, we'll be able to provide our employees and retirees with the same or better health care coverage at a dramatically lower cost. Such a move would save our employees and retirees, in our best estimate, $700 million a year in annual premiums, and would save the Postal Service $8 billion because we would effectively eliminate the need to pre-fund one day further. We would also be able to invest much more in effective health and wellness programs, which we can't do now. Financially, it's a smart move, and it's also the responsible thing to do for both the employees and the retirees. And it makes so much sense that it fills me with optimism that Congress will support it. We have to move in this direction, and I believe we will. One of the concepts I think a lot about relates to pensions and the notion of the postal employee of the future. And as Angela said, I started my postal career as a clerk in Pittsburgh in 1975, 37 years, almost 38. I went to the University of Pittsburgh by day, and at night I was a mail processing clerk in the downtown post office. So I think a lot about the organizational change from a perspective of a lot of my own experiences coming up through this place in all those years. And I have seen tremendous change in the mailing industry, not just the Postal Service, our entire industry in the last 10 years. And I will tell you this, if you think there was a lot of change in the last 10 years, wait till we see what happens in the next 10 to 20 years. It's going to be more dramatic. And we'd be hard-pressed to say what our industry is going to look like in the year 2030 or 2040. Think about that. But a young person that we hire today, like I was hired, 20 years old in 1975, will probably be here working well past the year 2050 and probably, in today's environment, past the year 2060. Our current retirement model is designed to give an employee a defined pension after a long career. And it's a model that made a lot of sense in the 1940s and 1950s, but is not going to be appropriate for the 2040s and the 2050s. Our world is becoming far too dynamic to make promises about pensions 40 and 50 years down the road. The benefit of a defined contribution system is that it gives employees options to consider. If job changes are possible, why hold people to benefits that they may not be able to use for 50 years? We're currently on a trajectory to hit about 400,000 career employees by the year 2017. And that's with all the changes that we proposed, the 6-to-5-day and the network changes as we shrink down. And after we reach that number, it's going to give us a pretty lean workforce. We have a pretty lean workforce right now from a standpoint of the network and the 6-day delivery. But after that, we will start hiring people. In fact, we estimate in the next 10 years between 2017 and 2027, depending on volume, and volume is the key here, the Postal Service will be hiring up to potentially 20,000 people a year annually to replace our workers. I'm above average in that I'm 57 years old, but our average is 54 years old in this organization. So we're going to have some people leaving the organization. We have to put a retirement system in place that is appropriate for these new people coming online. And it's got to provide a high level of certainty and predictability in an unpredictable world. And I'm confident that we can design a great system and tie it into systems like the Federal Thrift Savings Plan. And it could offer attractive employee contributions and enable our employees to plan for and manage retirement finances much more effectively than they do today. It would be portable, which is going to be very important going forward in this world. I would like to have a defined contribution plan in place for every new employee by the year 2015. It's about continuing to be a great place to work, have a competitive workforce, and being fair and responsible as an employer. And it makes so much sense that it makes me optimistic that we can get the authority under law to get this done. Another important area of flexibility relates to products and services that we provide. The Postal Service does not have pricing flexibility. For example, you know, we can't bend a little bit on an offer we've got with a customer. Let's just say we're asked to compete on a contract to ship 100,000 packages for a potential customer over the course of the year. You know, we'll provide a proposal and a price, and our competitors, great competitors out there, they do the same. This potential customer, often cases, goes back to the competitors and say, hey, you got the contract. If you can do a little bit better on price, they don't come back to us because they know it would take way too long to be able to get back to them with some flexibility. What we would like to do is make a deal like that and then have the regulatory commission just take a look and review after the fact. Makes us a lot more competitive. It's a small change that makes a lot of sense, and it would obviously help us to compete more effectively. And because it makes a lot of sense, it makes me, again, optimistic that we can get this type of flexibility. We would also like to have more flexibility in the types of products and services that we provide. Technology is going to transform the mailing industry in a lot of new and exciting ways, and we need to support that speed up in the transformation. It's not hard to imagine that customer expectations are going to change dramatically in the coming years. They already have been. If you look around and see the changes that we've all experienced, customers' tastes are changing. Imagine being able to use your smartphone to redirect your mail and packages. Have them delivered to a current your location you're at right now. Imagine being able to use a mobile app that has the ability to display what you're going to be getting in your mailbox over the next few days. That's going to create opportunities for marketers to build anticipation of what's in the mail. When you think about all the emails and all the messages you get today, the mail is the one last place where you can get a surprise, and there's a lot of anticipation you can build around that. Imagine if you were to get a notification the moment that your packages and your mail were delivered to your door. Imagine if the mail carried technology and enabled someone to tap a piece of mail on a smartphone and not only in one click make a purchase, have it delivered at the same time. We can dramatically improve the experience of mail and the experience of delivery if we unlock the power of data and digital technologies. Now, the Postal Service is working on some of these technologies right now with a number of our customers to transform the experience of mail and shipping. We're pursuing avenues of product development today that are not restricted by existing laws, and that's good. But we're also seeking additional flexibility in other promising areas. You know, the Postal Service provides a delivery platform for the $800 billion mailing industry that employs 8 million people. It is a big industry. And the way to keep that platform strong is to innovate in ways that improve the experience of delivery and the experience that people have with their mail. Having the flexibility to create new products and pursue business opportunities is an important way to keep the Postal Service and the mailing industry in total healthy. And I hope everyone is as optimistic as I am that we can get the flexibility through law to make this happen. You know, as I look out into the future, there is a lot to build on. Marketing mail or direct mail, as people talk about, it's rebounding nicely. I mean, we went through a rough spot there with the recession. And despite all the ways that people change in terms of communicating and selling products, marketing mail continues to garner roughly 12% of the total spend in marketing in this United States. It's been consistent for 30 years, and that's because marketing mail provides such a strong return on investment for the sender. And I have no doubt it will continue to be a strong and growing part of our business. The largest and most profitable part of mail is, of course, first-class mail. And that's what pays the bills. Have we seen a decline in the use of first-class mail? Yes, we have. You know, people pay bills online. It's free, and it's awfully hard to compete with free. But there's another part of that story, and it has to do with first-class mail that businesses send to their customers. It's down a little bit, about 1.5% per year since 2003, but that also includes a substantial drop that we experienced with the recession in 2008 and 2009, and a fairly weak economy since then. But that says that people really do value hard copy statements and correspondence that they receive from businesses. They want that information in hard copy, and they're resisting the idea of going totally digital. You know, we've heard anecdotally a lot of people that did do that and either missed a payment or nervous what's on their bill, and they've said, hey, start those bills back up again. You know, so don't write the obituary for first-class mail. It delivers a lot of value for both the sender and the receiver, and it accounts for $28 billion of revenue for the Postal Service today, and I guarantee you it's going to be around for a long while. The most promising part of our business in terms of growth is package delivery, which is up more than 14% over the last 2 years. We've created much of that growth by innovating and marketing new offerings, and we're also benefiting from the big rise in e-commerce. The way people use the mail and delivery services is changing, and I think it's exciting. And I think these changes will create opportunities for growth for the Postal Service and throughout the entire mailing industry. You know, the Postal Service is a tremendous organization with exceptionally dedicated workforce. Our people do a tremendous job, day in, day out. You saw them this week with the ricin threat, mail got delivered. You saw what happened with Hurricane Sandy, mail got delivered. Day in, day out, do an excellent job. And the Postal Service plays an indispensable role in the American economy. But today it has a business model that is broken. The good news is that we can fix what's broken. It just requires that we set aside some outdated visions and views of this organization. It also requires that we ask some fundamental questions about what kind of postal service is best for America in the future. We know we can't stick with our current structure, so we've got to create a new one. And we have to be bold because the scale of our problems are pretty large. In the past year, the Postal Service recorded a financial loss of $15.9 billion. I'm tired of talking about that, I will tell you. Included in there is an $11 billion default on payments due to the U.S. Treasury, and we've used up all of our borrowing authority. At one point last year, we only had 4 days of cash on hand, which means we came pretty close in some cases to not being able to pay our bills. The Postal Service can't continue to limp along in such a weakened financial state, and it's unfair to the businesses that support us. We need to provide customers who comprise every part of the American economy with the predictability and confidence that they need while they're investing in the mail. And the best way to do that is for Congress to help us fix this broken business model. The sooner, the better. We're asking Congress to give the Postal Service the authority and flexibility to close what could be a $20 billion budget gap by the year 2017. We can achieve this if the Postal Service can get ahead of the curve and be profitable for years to come. And it can be done without being a burden to the American taxpayers. All it requires is flexibility in a few key areas. The ability to determine our own delivery frequency. The ability to develop and price products quickly. The ability to control our health care and retirement costs. The ability to switch to a defined contribution retirement system for newly hired employees. A streamlined governance model and more flexibility in the way that we leverage our workforce. I am encouraged that Congress is working on legislation to address these issues. I am optimistic that we will gain these important areas of flexibility. And if we make these changes, I am confident that the Postal Service will better serve the American public and drive growth in the American economy into the future. We are on a responsible, common sense path to create a Postal Service that can adapt to a changing world. We just require the authority to make it happen. Thank you very much.